Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast.
Hi, I'm Sam Fesich from the EduMagic Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hey there, I hope you are doing well, and at the time of this recording, you are on winter break, and I hope you are taking the time you need to truly relax and enjoy this season with your family and friends, and to honestly take care of yourself. Usually on the podcast at the very end of the year, I do a podcast wrap-up. I may play snippets from my favorite episodes. I may talk about which ones I want you to listen to, but I decided to do things a little differently this year. I feel like 2023 for me is the year of simplifying things, and I'm going to kind of get into that. And so in thinking about that, I also am sometimes simplifying the way I do the podcast moving forward. And one of the ways to do that is when I do solo episodes now, I 100% want them to still be very relevant and very quality, I guess is the words I'm looking for. But I also don't want to spend a ton of extra time on my part researching and cutting audio and all those things. And so I'm going to get into why, so stick with me. But this episode is about three lessons I've learned in 2023. And so I'm going to talk about the lessons I've learned, but also my goal with this episode is, first of all, to make it short enough where you're not going to have a lot of time, let's be honest, on winter break to listen to podcasts because you're doing other things. But also I want to make it short enough where you can implement what you hear me talk about as well. And my hope with this episode is to encourage you, maybe even just one point that I give, to maybe take one of these suggestions and apply it to your own life as well. Lesson one that I learned in 2023 is that change is good, but hard. So there's been a few changes in mostly my work life, but also my personal life with my children mainly. So I'm going to get into them. The first change is I started a new teaching position, and this role is, of course, me teaching music, but my school is a small private school, and I'm also in charge of the Bible curriculum. And I'm helping teachers at the school with what to teach on a daily basis with their small group lessons. On top of that, I am now the ed tech coordinator in charge of all the curriculum for the elementary building. I'm also the one who is in charge of all the testing data and holding meetings with teachers. So basically, if you ask me what my role is at the school, it started as a music teacher, but the more my administrator and I had conversations, she brought me on for, as you can see, a few more roles. So this change is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. The hard part about it and the lesson I've learned is that change, and this is what I want to tell you for yourself as well, maybe you're in a new season, in a new position, or maybe you're in the same school, but you've been asked to take on a couple different new roles. Maybe not as many as I've taken on because I'm a crazy person, but maybe you have been, a new grade level has been added to you, or they've asked you to implement a new teaching method. I don't know, whatever it looks like for you. Change is hard, but I do feel like it's also good because I think it stretches us and pulls us out of our comfort zone. And it's not, just like I've talked about on this podcast a million times, when you're teaching your students, let's say you're implementing different lessons and you feel like it's not going well, but I always tell you to give it time. Change, for whether you're teaching your students or for yourself, and let's say I'm applying this towards a new teaching position, you're not going to know how to do everything right away. You're not going to know the way your school runs. You're not going to know exactly the expectations that are being asked of you, but give yourself grace, give yourself time, and know that it's okay to have a learning curve ahead of you. The other change that I have experienced in 2023 is bringing on new people on my team, on the domestic musician team. You may or may not be aware that my entire business is called The Domestic Musician. 7 years ago is when I started as a tiny little blog, and it's blossomed into what it is today. But all of my course, my membership site, this podcast, all fall under the Domestic Musician LLC brand. I have been a one-woman show for 6 years. I brought on someone 2 years ago to just kind of help me here or there with community management stuff. But this year I knew, yes, getting into a new teaching position was part of it, but I'll get into some of the other work I'm doing. I literally just could not do all of it anymore by myself. So I now have someone helping me with all social media. She's also helping with a lot of my emailing now. And then someone else who is, I record this podcast, but I used to also edit it and create the graphics and share it to social media and create pins for Pinterest and. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes for a podcast. And I love this podcast. It's probably, if I can be honest between you and I, my favorite part of my entire business. Being able to just share ideas and put them into the world and get into the earbuds of music teachers that need it the most is such a passion of mine. So, but I also knew I could not continue doing it. It wasn't sustainable for me to do it all by myself anymore. The stress from that, the change, was the training people, letting go of control, which I'm just going to be honest, talk about myself here a little bit. I have a controlling personality. I'm very type A. I've shared that before. I like things done a certain way. It's hard for me to delegate. It's hard for me to let go of control, but I knew it was needed. So I went back to some of the business courses I've taken about how to set up systems and recorded a lot of behind the scenes videos and gave these people 2 weeks to onboard into my business and learn what I needed them to do. And we have communication channels and all kinds of things. And I'm telling you right now, when you bring on the right people and you have the support and help you need, I am like mind blown at how less stressed I feel. And I've kind of fallen in love with my business all over again. How you can apply this to your life is, where in your teaching life can you, and I'm going to give an example of this as well, can you ask for more help? Of course, it's not going to be bringing on new people to help you and pay them. But what I mean is, where can you delegate things? So for example, I work at my school. We call ourselves the enrichment team. I know it's called something different at every school. But when I started, I was honestly mind blown at how positive the culture of enrichment was at my new school, where we're all viewed as teachers. We're all viewed as having something to contribute and value to add to the students and to the other teachers. I'm talking about from the music teaching portion here. I never have once felt like I'm the planning period teacher. I've never once felt like I am just an extra. And so the way this looks for me of getting help and support is I'm asking questions. They do a giant Christmas performance, and I've been asking questions about what does that look like to our drama teacher and like all the logistical things. And she has helped tremendously with this is what I'm going to do. And oh, she made me a binder the other day of printouts of combine her drama portion with the music and printed it out. We are kind of tag teaming it and really working together on a lot of different things. And I am so grateful for that because I've been honest with her too. Like I love to work alone. I'm just going to be honest. That's which I just shared in my business, but in teaching as well, even when Jessica started teaching, I just talked about myself in the third person, but like whenever I'm teaching, whatever school building I'm at, I love to work alone. But I also know bringing in others to help with whatever that looks like, whether it's decorating for a performance, whether that looks like planning together. Yes, even if you teach different subject areas, whatever that looks like, what can you delegate and get off your plate in order to cause less stress for you? And maybe it's not getting it off your plate, but maybe it's collaborating with another teacher where you're getting ideas. And that's been something I've done as well. Anyway, so one thing that I actually, here's a simple idea. One thing that she does really well is to eliminate the I didn't get a turn aspect of, you know, teaching. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that child didn't get a turn, and then they're whining and complaining about it. She has popsicle sticks with the kids' names on it and will put it in another box when she knows this child's had a turn of whatever they're doing, and this one hasn't had a turn yet. And I love that. That's an idea I got from her that it's something so simple, but I would have never thought of on my own, but we collaborated, and she actually even made me my own box of popsicle sticks. I mean, just like have collaboration and meetings and conversations on an ongoing basis with teachers to see what you can delegate and get help with. The other thing I've learned about change is taking on new roles. I just kind of mentioned that at the beginning about I've taken on a lot of new roles with my school, but on top of that, FLAT Books, there is a new Learn platform, the professional development platform, and I am in charge now of bringing on new, and if you're interested, definitely reach out to me, but coordinating all the different professional development sessions, we're going to be adding more and more and more new ones, so I'm in charge of kind of heading that up and creating a release schedule and all the conversations and helping upload the different sessions and getting the copy ready. And I'm also still doing a lot of curriculum work with Virtual Virginia, specifically right now is the main one I'm working with. And I'm the subject matter expert in reviewing various music education courses and helping get them ready for release on their site. And there's a lot of other behind the scenes work I don't really talk about that I'm doing on a consistent basis with various music ed companies, but also education companies. And so there's a lot of moving parts there. And so that has definitely stretched me because there's a constant ebb and flow and change to that. It's not bad, but it can become hard and overwhelming when I'm not keeping my systems organized and I'm not kind of knowing what I need to get done and when. So I'm learning in 2023, moving into 2024, I need to get better about kind of organizing all that. And yeah, developing better systems for myself. And number four, and the change is good but hard, is entering a new season as a mom. My kids are getting older, and my kids at the time of this recording are 13, 11, and 8. I have three boys. I love the season I'm in right now, but man, change is hard. When I have these time hop pictures, and those of you listening who are parents, you kind of can relate to this. All of a sudden, and we can definitely relate to this as teachers, you know, if you've had kiddos since pre-K or kindergarten and all of a sudden they're big fifth graders now, it's like, man, where did those little babies go? So it's like a good season, but change is hard. And also part of the hard season is I have a teenager now and a preteen. And let me tell you, man, when people tell you that the hormones are real, they are real. I love my boys. They're incredible people. And I'm so very proud of them, but woo, buddy, we have been having some conversations around here about the way we talk and like, just calm down. Everything's not that big of a deal. So that's a big change that's happening in my personal life. That's like navigating that and how to best move forward with parenting big kids is it's kind of a challenge. I'm not going to lie to you, but I love it at the same time. It's kind of this weird enigma of love, hate at the same time. I don't know. Anyway, so that's where we're at. And I want to talk about next in the three lessons I've learned in 2023 is growing pains never stop. What I mean by this is the first thing is I'm about to be 42. My birthday is on New Year's Eve, and I cannot believe I just told you my age on my podcast, but you know what? It is what it is. But I am still growing and learning on a daily basis. It's funny because I think back to even my 20s and I thought, okay, as I get older, I'm just going to kind of know what's going on and be good to go. And my journey, it has not taken the path that I thought it would be taking when I graduated college at the age of 22. There we go. I thought I would just, and I've talked to you about this, be in the classroom for 30 years and at the same school. And, but then life, I could not predict what my future held. I could not predict that we were going to be moving to a new state and that I would have a child that I needed to devote a lot of time to, who my sweet oldest baby is on the autism spectrum and constantly still having meetings at his school. I just don't talk about it all the time. And he's about to move into high school and oh my gosh. But anyways, I couldn't predict that. I couldn't predict that I would have a middle son that had severe food allergies and I couldn't put him in daycare. I couldn't predict all that. But I also couldn't predict this business that was born out of a passion for helping music teachers, that because I was able to take a break, I was able to start this. And now I just, thinking back of the way I thought my future would look, it looks nothing like in my head I predicted, but I love it. So my growing pains is still going on at the age of almost 42. I am still learning and growing. I am still learning what I should be doing. I'm still learning, like I said, I'm at a new school. I'm still learning the best way to help teachers. Those of you listening to this podcast, or maybe you're in one of my paid programs, I am constantly, without constantly talking about it, but I'm constantly thinking about, what do I need to say? How do I need to say it? What do I need to change? What do teachers really need right now? What do they not need right now? It's constantly me growing and learning right along with my community, to be honest. So I'm still learning and growing on a daily basis in a lot of different areas in life. And I don't think that'll ever stop. And I really do think, just like we tell students to have a growth mindset, it's the same way for us as teachers, that as you get older, continue growing and learning. Don't stay stuck in your ways. I think it's so important. I also, when it comes to growing pains, have learned that not everyone's going to like me. And I am a people pleaser. I want to make everyone happy. And if I get one email that says, why did you say that? Then I go into my hidey hole for about 24 hours and think the world is ending. And oh my gosh, like I should not have said whatever. But then you get five positive emails that are like, thank you so much. So I have, and this is a continual process. It never changes. I'm going to just be honest with you right now. When you have a podcast and you're putting your voice into the world, it is probably the most vulnerable thing I've ever done. And it's funny because when I started, I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to just share some episodes and bring on some guests and everybody's going to love it. That's so naive. I mean, it's just, and that's okay, but I'm growing in my growing pains is the fact that not everybody's going to like me, maybe not even just me, but everybody's not going to like my podcast. Everyone's not going to resonate with my message. Everyone's not going to want to purchase my stuff I offer, but that's okay because I am growing and learning that I'm not for everyone, but I'm for the people who need my message. I'm for those who need my podcast. And if you're listening, that's you. So the growing pains is for you as well, is knowing not every teacher is going to love you. You're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. You're not going to be every student's cup of tea, but that's okay. It's still getting in there, teaching, being you, completely you, without worrying about who you're offending, without worrying about if everyone's liking you, just be you. And that's my biggest piece of advice I'm giving to myself as well. Also, a growing pain is that feelings will still be hurt. I kind of just touched on this, but I am going to step on some toes sometimes. I am going to unintentionally hurt people's feelings sometimes. I know that I have a very sarcastic personality that can be taken the wrong way sometimes. The Spanish teacher at my school actually told me that the other day. I didn't hurt his feelings, but he looked at an email I had sent out to teachers, and I was trying to make it a joke, but one of the sentences in there, he kind of pointed out that maybe it could have been taken the wrong way. And I re-looked at it and I'm like, you know what? You're right. I can see that. Some of them don't know me very well still. And so I have to cut back on the sarcasm sometimes. I know sometimes if you're on my email list, sometimes the emails I send, if you know my emails and join my email list by just downloading a freebie or just message me and I'll get you on there. But every week when I send out emails, I send out, and I still don't know the right way to pronounce it, guys, but GIFs in my email to my list. And I know sometimes some people probably think it's hysterical and some people are like, oh my God, I'm so sick of her. Like, would you stop sending these? But that's okay. I'm going to hurt people's feelings sometimes. It's not okay to hurt people's feelings, but it goes back to what I said earlier, that some people are just not going to like me, but I don't know how to be anyone but myself. And that's the truth. I'm going to be me, and I'm going to be for some people, and I'm not going to be for others. And I have to be okay with that. And if I hurt your feelings in the process, please know that it's not intentional. I never mean to. It's just sometimes it happens. So if you've hurt a teacher's feelings or a student's feelings, and you're like, I totally don't even know what I did wrong, it's okay. Just all you can do is apologize and move forward and continue being you. And the last thing is, when it comes to growing pains, is the fact that I fall off the bike over and over and over. I make mistakes. I mess up. I do something. It didn't go well, or whatever that may look like, but I get back up. If you keep feeling like you're falling off the bike, same. Get back up. Keep going. Don't throw the bike. Don't take the parts off of it, but keep going. Don't worry about how many times you feel like you have messed up or that you have failed when it comes to teaching or whatever it looks like, whatever part of life you can apply that to. Keep going, keep getting back on the bike and keep going. And eventually you're going to notice you stop falling off of the bike as much as you used to. And the third lesson I learned in 2023 is about putting myself first and not last. And how important that is. I'm a people pleaser by nature, and I love to serve others, whether it's my family, my friends, my music ed community, whether it's my team, whether it's other teachers at school, my students, whoever in my life. But in return, sometimes I forget about taking care of me. So that is one lesson I've definitely learned in 2023, that sometimes I'm never going to stop wanting to make others happy. It's just, I feel like a gift of mine that I love to serve. But I noticed that maybe where I serve others 80% and only myself 20, maybe in 2024, we can get that maybe even down to 60-40. And where I just feel like I'm constantly serve, but then I notice myself. One of the reasons I feel so depleted at the end of the day is not just because of the amount of work I do, not just because I'm busy. It's because I know that at the end of the day, sometimes if I have not poured into myself at all, I feel it. I'm feeling like mentally worn out. My husband sees it. He's like, let's have a conversation. And I'm looking at him like, I have nothing left. So I have to get better about that. That is a huge lesson I've learned. Part of the reason I feel burnt out sometimes is not because I'm doing all this work. It's because I'm not taking care of me. And I'm like over here preaching to the choir about like, you guys have self-care, but I need to also do it in my own life. Also, when it comes to putting myself first, is saying no or not right now is okay. I have done that several times. And I'm telling you, the first time I've said it was so awkward, but I had someone barge into my classroom the other day asking me like it was an emergency to do something for them right then. And I looked at her and I said, I can do that, but it's going to have to wait till later today. I'm in the middle of something. And she looked at me kind of like, oh, okay. And walked out. And I thought, oh, I used to be worried about others' reactions or what if they get mad if I'm not doing this right away, but you have to protect yourself too. another thing with putting myself first is not taking on every opportunity that comes my way. This means the right doors will open and the wrong ones will close. And so I talked about some curriculum development that I've done. One of those opportunities, it was a huge opportunity. It would have been a lot of money, but I knew I cannot do that. And I had to say no to it. But in return, I passed it along to a friend who is an amazing music educator. And I knew she would be perfect for that role. And she's doing that now. And it makes me so happy to see that this role is being fulfilled by someone who this is the right opportunity for them. But also not taking on every opportunity. I talked about a lot that I've taken on. And with that, I've been asked to do more and more and more. And I know my limit now. And moving into 2024, I need to be better about knowing my limits. And I'm not taking on everything that comes my way. Maybe it's with a podcast guest. Maybe it's with me being interviewed on a podcast. Maybe it's an opportunity to collaborate with in a certain way or whatever else. I am better about saying no or not right now and not taking on every opportunity that comes my way. And the last thing is giving myself space on my calendar to just be me and just to be with absolutely no plans. It's so important. It's so needed. This is a lesson I learned in 2023 that sometimes I will fill my calendar to the brim. And sometimes it's mom tasks. Sometimes it's life tasks. Sometimes it's work tasks. But sometimes I will look at my calendar and I'm going to be 100% better about doing this in 2024. And I will look at it and say, this is a nothing night. And I will actually put on my calendar nothing in bold letters. And that means don't schedule anything. Don't take your kids anywhere. Don't do anything this night. And I'm telling you that has helped me so much. It's honestly also when you look at your calendar and you see one of those nothing nights or nothing weekends right there, it is so, it's like a breath of fresh air because you have something to look forward to where you're feeling like the freight train just keeps moving and you see it on your calendar and it's telling you this is where the freight train is stopping. And then it's going to pick a momentum again the next day. So that is something that I encourage you to do as well, is to give yourself some nothing nights or nothing days on your calendar just to be with no plans. I hope that some of my lessons I've learned in 2023, that you can somehow take them and find encouragement with them and applying them to your life as well, moving forward into the new year. And like I said, continue enjoying your break. And if you're listening to this episode after winter break, I hope that you're having an incredible new year and are moving forward successfully in your life and with your students. I'll see you soon, friends.
Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.